out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. What should we do then? The crowd asked. John answered, the man with two tunics should share with him who has none, and the one who has food should do the same. Tax collectors also came to be baptized. Teacher, they asked, what should we do? Don't collect any more than you are required to, he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, and what should we do? He replied, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And with many other words, John exhorted the people and preached the good news to them. So thinking today, what's Advent really all about? And Advent, of course, is a time of waiting. Advent, within the Christian tradition, for some traditions, it is 40 days leading up to Christmas, very much like Lent is 40 days leading up to Easter. But for others, it is just the 4 weeks, the 4 preceding Sundays to Christmas. A period of waiting, of preparation, getting ready for the coming of Christ. And we turn today to this story about John the Baptist, because he was somebody who was preparing, getting people ready for the coming of Christ. And what we discover about waiting and anticipation from John the Baptist, 3 things: baptism, evidence, and preparation. They're not very snappy things, but they're 3. Baptism, evidence, and preparation that we see in this particular story. What is Advent all about? And you might think, well, hang on, how can baptism possibly have anything to do with what we understand as Advent? Well, let's have a look. Baptism. Baptism, as the people came to John the Baptist, they came to be baptized, we are told, for a baptism of repentance. Verse 3, John went into all the country around the Jordan preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. People were coming to be baptized by John because however they had lived their life up to that point, whether they were a tax collector or a soldier or another job that they did, if they're another person, whoever they were, as they came to John to be baptized, part of what they were doing, they were understanding God has a big story that is still in play. And we want to be part of God's story. And as they come to be baptized, this baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, they are committing themselves to God's story. Recognizing that there are many stories, there are many narratives that exist in our world. You haven't got to look very far, just listen to the news. Listen to the commentators to understand there are many narratives that are told about the world, about where we're heading and the point of our existence and what the purpose is and the ethos and the values that go with these stories. As these people come to John to be baptized, they commit themselves to God's story. A story that goes all the way back specifically to Abraham. Genesis 11 and 12, where God comes to Abraham and says, Abraham, I've chosen you and Sarah. You are going to take my blessing and you're going to be blessed by me in wonderful and extraordinary ways. But you're going to be blessed in order that others also might be blessed. And that is at the heart of God's story, where he blesses in order that others might be blessed. And as they come to be baptized, they say, in effect, we want to be part of this story. We want to be blessed that others might be blessed through us. And they come as a commitment to be part of God's rescue plan for the world. And this is all part of preparation. This is all part of anticipating, waiting. Because later on in the story, we're told in verse 15, the people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. They come expectant. Is this the time when God's story reaches this particular point, when the chosen one, the anointed one of God, will be revealed to us? We want to be part of this story. And so in their advent, in their waiting, baptism plays a crucial part. And as they are baptized, they say, we want to be part of God's story, no longer the story of this world with its values of greed and lust and ambition. We want to be part of God's story with its ethos and values of love and kindness and mercy and generosity. So baptism is the first element that we see here about their advent, their waiting. The second is about evidence. What has evidence got to do with advent? What has evidence got to do with waiting? Well, baptism's there, commitment to part of God's, to be part of God's story. We want to fit in to his values and his way. Well, evidence. John is none too subtle, is he, as he speaks to the crowds? I don't know. Have you ever heard a preacher get up and speak like this? What would the church do to a preacher? John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers. I don't know what the modern equivalent of that would be. Extraordinary what he says. See, he understands what they are doing. He understands that in being baptized, they want to be part of God's story. For whatever reason, maybe they are tired of the values of the life they are living. They know there's an emptiness in the life they are living. And so they want to be part of God's story. But what John is after is evidence of a changed life. So he says to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Their commitment to be part of God's rescue plan for the world. Well, demonstrate it with your lives. It's not enough for you to come and to say the right words. It's not enough for you to come even to have the right action in being baptized. If you're going to be part of God's story, God's plan, in this Advent period, then you must have a life that reflects what God desires. And I know sometimes I think we do struggle with this, just this concept about surely it is enough to believe. Surely it is enough to pray and to say, Lord Jesus, I want to be your disciple. I want to follow you. Lord Jesus, I want you to forgive my sin. Lord, I want to repent, to turn from the way I have lived. Surely it is enough to say the right words. And yet for John, words are empty. He doesn't seem to be very interested in their right words, and he doesn't actually seem to be very interested in their baptism. Because he says, very clearly, as I've already said, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Now, is this unique to John? Is it just that John is having a bad day? You know, that's why he calls them a brood of vipers. He's cross, he's hungry. He didn't have much of a diet, John. Nor was it locusts and wild honey. You know, I get ratty if I'm hungry. You know, maybe John's having a bad day and he's just... You know, is it just John? And yet what we discover is when we read God's story, is we discover this consistency through it, where words are not enough. Our confession is not enough. And we'll be familiar with this verse from James. Striking words. Faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Striking. Exactly what John is saying. Produce fruit. Live a life that reflects what you say. And what he's asking for is a life based on kindness and justice. Share, care, fair, and content. What should we do then? John answers in verse 11. The man with two tunics should share. How many tunics have you got? One. Enough for yourself. Two. It's one for somebody else. You see, we don't like the practicality of this. But if I, what would John say to us? Share. You have two, give. The tax collectors also came to be baptized. Teacher, what shall we do? First, before that, the man with two tunics should share with him as none. The one who has food should do with the same, to share and care for those who have no food. The tax collectors, what should we do? Don't collect any more than you're required to. You have to be fair in what you do. Soldiers, what should we do? Don't extort money. Don't accuse people falsely. Be content. So sharing, caring, being fair and content with your life. The expectation that John has upon these people, a life that is different. Says, I understand something about God's story. I understand something about the values and ethos of God's way. And by being baptized and saying, I want to be part of it, in this Advent time, this waiting time, this expectancy for the coming of Christ, I will have a life that demonstrates the evidence of my repentance. I have changed. You can see it all around me. And of course, one of the very challenging things I do find, you know, if you were to ask some of my friends who are not part of the church, some of the parents, I mean, some of the people I deal with, and if you were to ask them, what is the evidence that Ed is a Christian? I do wonder what they'd say. That's why I don't ask them. But I do wonder. And if it was true for you, if we were able to interview your friends and neighbours and relatives who are not part of the church, how do you know what's the evidence for it? And that's what John is looking for. Where is the evidence for a changed life? So in the Advent period, these people are waiting just as we do at Christmas. They are waiting for the coming of Christ. Baptism, commitment to be part of God's story, part of God's rescue plan for the world. Evidence is the second thing. The third is that of preparation. Preparation, because in verse 15 that we've looked at before, they were all waiting expectantly, all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. They are being prepared by John. And John is saying to them, look, if you want to be ready for the coming of Christ, opting into God's story is great. But also a life that is changed, giving evidence of your repentance. That's a necessary thing to be ready for the coming of Christ as well, but also it is our life better prepared for the coming of Christ. So there's three very simple things in Advent, in a waiting time that we read in this account. Baptism, a commitment to God's story. The evidence that goes with that, a life that has changed. And one who has been baptized and produces the fruit, the evidence of that changed life, is better prepared for the coming of Christ than you would otherwise be. And so what follows? What follows is, in fact, baptism, evidence, preparation. Repeat it all. Because what does John say? In verse 16, John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor, to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." So John, in his preparation to meet the Christ, points to one who also will baptize, one who also will look for evidence, one who also is looking to prepare people for the coming of God's kingdom. But this baptism is not a baptism in water. John says it is a baptism in the Holy Spirit, to be filled, to be drenched, to be overcome with the life of God. Which seems to me, if that happens to you, that has to be a transforming thing that happens to you. But it's not about selfishness, and it's not about what I can get from God for myself, but it is about how can I better be part of God's story? How better can I be blessed that I might be a blessing for others? Can I live the life that God calls me to? And John says, Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit. And in this Advent period for us, we look to the coming of Christ, that he might baptize us with the life of God, that he might baptize us with the Holy Spirit, that we might receive blessing, that we might be a blessing. But of course, it's not just baptism. It is evidence once again, and it's evidence once again of good works, just as John was looking for, in order that people might be prepared for the coming of Christ, the coming of God's kingdom. We are told that Jesus, he will burn up the chaff. We are told his winnowing fork in verse 17 is in his hand to clear his threshing floor, to gather the wheat. That is the good work. That's the good stuff that Jesus wants. But he will take the chaff, everything that is no use to anyone. But he will take the chaff, and what will he do with it? He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And I know sometimes we sing songs about, you know, Jesus, send your fire, burn in me, all this kind of stuff. Seems to me that's pretty scary stuff. I don't know if you've ever been close to a big fire when the flames have been taller than you. And the intensity of that, and the heat of that, and the fear that there is in that. And we are told that this fire is an unquenchable fire. We can't do anything to the fire. We can't damp it down. But Jesus comes to prepare people and to say, I have no use for your dead works. Faith, if it is not accompanied by works, is dead. I have no use for your dead works. I'll burn those up. If you're going to be ready, Advent, waiting, if you're going to be ready for the coming of God's kingdom, I really need to burn up the useless stuff so that you will just have left the fruit, the good stuff. And so as we wait in this Advent period, Jesus is waiting that he might baptize us with the Holy Spirit, with the life of God, that he might come with his fire to burn up everything in us that is not of value for him, and it's not of value for us, and it's not of value really for anybody else. And we might pat ourselves on the back for all the chaff. But it's no value. It's no value in God's kingdom. Because Jesus comes to prepare us for the coming of the King. Because he surely is returning. And the life of God in us is about transforming us, transforming our world, that we might be ready for his coming. So this Advent season, what is Advent really about? And this does not, by any means, cover everything. But if Advent is waiting, if Advent is about expectantly waiting for the coming of the Christ, then I think there's something here about baptism. Committing ourselves to God's story. Being baptized with the Holy Spirit that we might live in God's story. It's about the question of evidence. How much our lives reflect what we confess. That we might be ready for the coming of the King. And may it be true for us, just the challenge for us in Advent, as we pray, Lord Jesus, come close to us. May it be that these words might take some root in our hearts and lives. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, in this Advent time, when we wait, when we look for your coming. Father, we pray that we would be open to you, to change our hearts, to change our attitudes. We might be open to your love, to fill us, to flow in us, to flow from us. To melt our cold and hard hearts. To give to us a joy in our salvation. To remind us that the great things, the things of immense value, are the things that come from your hands. The things that last forever are rooted in you and in your love. May your grace surround us as we celebrate this Christmas time. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.